preservation of hula, chants, and traditions. Post-colonization saw our language, hula, and other cultural practices go underground, deemed paganistic and sinful. But with the modern renaissance of Hawaiian culture, the mahu went from being a shameful and derogatory word to one of empowerment. In a 2018 Human Rights Campaign survey, 128 transgender women were murdered since 2013. Add that to the 22 transgender women murdered this year, that's over 150 women because of who they were. More than 80% of those women were women of color. Of the 22 women murdered this year, 17 were between the ages of 17 and 30. The numbers are probably higher for many news sources, and the police department usually misgender us. A 2018 statistics by the Department of Health in Hawaii said that the National Center for Transgender Equality and the Transgender Law Center have created the Protect Trans Health campaign in response to the Trump administration and the Department of Health and Human Services regulations making it illegal to discriminate transgender individuals by doctors, healthcare providers, hospitals, and insurance companies. Also in 2013, 1 in 3 individuals report negative experiences with healthcare providers. 1 in 4 report negative experiences with insurance companies and hospitals. The Department of Health in Hawaii reported 1,260 high school students identify as transgender in 2018. Transgender youth have a high rate of drinking, smoking, and drug use because of who they are. 29% report being bullied in school, 39% being bullied online, and one in four report experiencing sexual violence, which leads to nearly half of those students feeling hopeless or depressed, and nearly half attempting suicide 1 or more times that year. Although transitioning in Hawaii was far less traumatic for our sisters and brothers than in the mainland, being in mahu in Hawaii, still you deal with bullying, depression, and at times suicide. So I continue to do my best to educate and speak for those who cannot or will not stand up for themselves and speak up for them. Thank you.
I'd like to share just a little bit about myself and my journey. This is just another day in my life. I've been recently going through a bit of self-discovery and even a bit of depression. I guess that's something that everyone does, especially as we get older. I had a birthday recently and was really kind of surprised at it because I can't believe I got this old this quick. I didn't expect it. Life has a way of just speeding by without even realizing just how fast it's going. This is just another reason we should just live the life that we want to be, the person we want to be in how we feel that we are. Being true to oneself is an amazing feeling. Of all the years I spent fighting with my inner self about who I truly am and how I should live my life, only to be afraid of what others might say or do. Hiding inside my fears and letting them dictate who I would be as a person. Some days I amaze even myself how I have made it to this point in my life, how I did I ever triumph over all them fears? How did I manage to overcome the challenges that have come into my life? I've been able to conquer drug addiction, weight gain, and even transitioning. Those are just a few. There are so many people in this world who don't make it. They can't seem to get through these things. So how did I do it? Well, my only answer is this: God made me the way I am because he needed me to show others whatever my challenges that present themselves in our lives. We all have the power within us to make it through. I wasn't a mistake. I didn't choose to be this way. I certainly wish my life would have been easier, but I guess it is what it was. I wouldn't be the person I am today. My only true regret is that I didn't realize this much earlier in my life. Knowing this doesn't make life any easier or give it more meaning, knowing this just helps me help others who may need to hear and know about themselves. Even after all that I've been through and how I feel, feeling like my life is on track, kind of like I still kind of run into ignorant people who feel they need to make comments about my life and how I should live it. I'm sure it makes them feel much more superior about themselves. We don't live in a perfect world, and just like everything else, everyone is entitled to their own opinion. It just doesn't mean that they have to share it. We are all individuals who have our own likes and dislikes. We can't all be the same, because that would just be boring. All we can do is accept each other for who they are as a person. We don't have to like it. We just have to accept that it's up to them to decide for themselves. It is said that love is unconditional. Well, certainly it is supposed to be that way. But for so many of us, it just isn't. A lot of people will only love you on their terms. You must conform to their beliefs, ideals, morals, and values. Is it really love then? As individuals, we are ever changing. And that's a good thing. As we understand things better and learn about ourselves, we form new opinions. We gain knowledge that helps us become a better person. Just like positive influences, there are negative influences. They too can affect our thinking. It is ultimately up to us to decide what information we believe and what kind of person we want to become. Truly, it is my thinking, as long as you like what you see in the mirror, then it's okay. And nobody can tell you any different than that.
You know, for much of the last 6 weeks or so, about every other Sunday, I've had the privilege of, after the worship services ended, sitting in my office with Alexis and with Amber and Umbin and Ava and Cheryl, and we've talked about this service. And we've talked about the message that we want to be able to share and hear. But most importantly for me, it has been the privilege of sitting amongst these wonderful people and hearing your stories. And hearing not only the stories, but hearing the willingness to put those stories out in front of the world. To make oneself incredibly vulnerable in a world that really, at times when you're vulnerable, really wants to use that as the opportunity to knock you down. And as I thought about this service and I thought about the scriptures that we would choose, and Cheryl was wonderful. She suggested this first one that we had from Isaiah. And I just love the way it begins in Isaiah 43, chapter 1. It says, "But now says our God, the one who created you, so each one of us created by God, the one who formed you, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." And I think about how easy it is for me to know that I have indeed been called by name. How easy it is for me to know that God has redeemed me and called me, and how wonderful that is. I live in a world that is oriented to make it easy for me. I'm a white, middle class, male, in a first world country. The world is oriented around me. And I get that. And then I read the scripture and I realize, oh, it's not about me. It's really about all of us. And particularly it's about those that the world chooses so often to not see. And so then we turn to 2 Thessalonians, and we hear, "Meanwhile, we've got our hands full continually thanking God for you." our good friends, so loved by God. God picked you out from the very start. And I think about what you just shared with us, Amber, and the very fact that God does not make mistakes. I am who I am. And the gift that you share with us of being who you are in this community. And I think about the reality of why we come together. We come together to be able to not only know who we are, but to also know whose we are. To know that in God's hand we are held, and that each of us here, held by God's hand, are also called to try and be that hand of God ourselves and to hold one another. And in fact, we are called to be able to do all we can with our life to see not with the to feel not with the hands of God, but to also to see with the eyes of God. Some of you may remember that 2 weeks ago when we had our worship service and we were talking about the celebration of Diwali. Where is Mala and Len? There. Mala helped us to pull together Diwali. It was so wonderful. One of the things that we talked about was that in the celebration of Diwali that you will oftentimes, within a Hindu culture, you will see folks that will say namaste. And in the process of saying namaste to one another, we are saluting the divine that is within each other. We are seeing the divine within each other. In the same way which in the Jewish community when we wish shalom to one another, within the Hawaiian community when we honi with one another and we put our foreheads together and we take that deep breath and we say aloha and we are exchanging the very breath of the divine with one another. This Friday I was privileged to be with Father Michael and with Pilani, and while we were talking amongst in the group that we were in, Father Michael turned to Pilani and he said, "Oh, that piece of glass that broke the other day, we'll just put it over here." Father Michael turned to Pilani and he asked Pilani to share with us the Zulu word for what happened for when we greet one another. So Pilani, can I ask you to share that with us?
Hi. When we...
I'll step away. There you go.
When we greet in Zulu, we say Sawubona.
Can you say that?
Sawubona.
Sawubona.
Yes, meaning we see you.
So Sawubona means we see you. And in fact, is it not true that when you greet one another, there's actually sort of almost a pause so that you don't just go, hi, how are you, and off you go. But when you say Sawubona, it is also you pause so that you truly can see one another. Is that true? So, go.
And the next person respond, Yebo unjani, meaning, how are you?
Right. So it is that process, and I think let's add to our lexicon. We add Sawubona to our lexicon of aloha and shalom and salam aleikum and namaste, Sawubona, to be able to look at a person and say, I see you. If you were to ask me, what is my dream for this congregation as your pastor, it would be that we would practice Sawubona each and every day, that we would indeed see one another. And it has been my privilege as we have gathered together each of these Sundays after worship to be able to see one another and to be seen by each other in all of our frailties and all of our glory. And when I was talking with Alexis earlier this morning, and we were talking about the fact that soon we're going to read the names of those mostly young women between the ages of 17 and 30. I think you said 17, some about 3/4 or so. So there's mostly young women who have been killed because of who they are. And if they could say one thing, they would probably say, all I wanted was to be seen for who I am. And I think about the eyes of God, and God sees us for who we are. Exactly. Sees us for all of our beauty and all of our wonder, and sees us and merely asks us to do the same. Sawubona, I see you. I see you. I see you. If we do anything with these days and in this community, it is to see one another to see past our differences, to see past the things we may not even understand, and to see one another. May we do that. Amen. Excuse me? Thank you, Phil. I see you too.